kalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhya eva cha patitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Binda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janapalabha Girivaradhari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janapalabha Girivaradhari Yasoda Nandana Praja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Praja Janaranjana Jamunathira Banachari Jamunathira Banachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janapalabha Girivaradhari Yasoda Nandana Praja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Praja Janaranjana Jamunathira Banachari Jamunathira Banachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janapalabha Girivaradhari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, राम राम हरि हरि। Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I wish to welcome everyone to Govardhan Eco Village. My sincerest gratitude to all the residents of Govardhan Eco Village for your amazing, wonderful sacrifice of service in trying to provide a holy place for people to come to be spiritually nourished with devotion, with compassion, and with happiness. Srila Prabhupada, he often said that the entire purpose of the whole Vedic culture is sarve sukhano bhavantu. The principle, let everyone be happy. That sounds simple, but for all of us who've been living in this world, it's simple but not easy. It's a very nice concept. Just be happy. But matras parashas tu konte yasitos na sukadukada. Everything in this world is changing, like the winter and summer seasons. Inevitably, happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, pleasure and pain, health and disease, success and failure, victory and defeat, birth and death. There's no one in this creation that is not affected by these changes. So how to be happy? When we work so hard to get attached to something that we want, and then we know somewhere in the back of our minds, oftentimes it's in the forefront of our minds, it's going to be taken away. That person is going to die. And this body is going to die. And the taxes might go up. And there may be a drought, and there may be a hurricane or a cyclone, or there may be an earthquake, or my children may run away, or my husband may not be nice to me, my wife may not cook nicely anymore. There's so many reasons, and we could be so aggravated by these little things. And what's the difference between major subjects that interfere with our quest for happiness and small ones? It's actually our perception. It's not the thing itself. It is simply our perception. If we focus our attention on what's truly important, then all the little things that have a tendency to aggravate us and put us in so much anxiety, they really don't matter that much. We just deal with them, but we don't bother to get upset with them because they're inevitable. Tonight we have gathered to celebrate New Year's Eve. Now, what does it mean for a devotee, a bhakti yogi, to celebrate New Year's Eve? Celebration is really a time of reflection and a time of upliftment. So whether we like it or not, very, very soon, 2019 will end, and it will never come back again. It's finished forever. From a material perspective, it is dead, gone, finished. Or as someone taught me today, a new word, crushed. But like everything, like every moment, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year, every decade, every century, every millennium, every life, when one thing ends, it's the beginning of something else. You can't hold on to what's gone. But you could look into the future and prepare yourself. Learn our lessons from the past and move forward. Because unless we have the consciousness of moving forward, regardless of what situation comes, we could really be depressed. Because everything's vanishing. At the time of the ending of a year and the beginning of a new year, it will be wise to define and prioritize what is of true importance to our life. What is really valuable? What do I really want? Because the tendency of the mind and the society around us is to allure us to waste so much time with trifling things that really aren't very important at all. They come and they go. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a very important verse. Ayur harati vai pungsam udyan astam chayan aso tasyarate yakshano nitta utama sloka vartaya. This verse, for some people, it's really depressing. And for other people, it's really enlightening. Would you like to hear it? Hopefully you will be enlightened. The first half of the verse is, with every single rising and setting of the sun, we are one day closer to death. Except one who utilizes their time to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, to cultivate self-realization. For such a person, with every rising and setting of the sun, we are one day closer to eternal life. Time is so precious. One great teacher who lived long ago in the Vedic tradition, Chanakya, he explained what is wisdom: to not waste time. In fact, Rupa Goswami, he says the symptom of a sincere devotee is that they do not waste time. Because a moment is so valuable. Once it's gone, you cannot buy it back. Even a multi-billionaire, if he says, I want to give my entire fortune to recover a moment that I lost, they can't do it. That is how precious every moment is. Why do we want to waste such moments? Because in this life, we don't have very long. There's a beautiful prayer by the great devotee Govinda Das. Bajahure mana Sri Nanda Nandana Abhoya Charanara Vindare Dulabha Manava Janama Satsange Sindare. It's a prayer to our own mind. Please, mind, take shelter of Srinandanandana, of the beautiful, sweet, supreme, all-attractive, loving Lord. Because in taking shelter of the Lord, we become fearless. But how is it possible? The next line. This human life is very rare. There are so many species of life. The plants and the trees and the fishes and the insects and the birds and the reptiles and the animals. And even in this human life, it's so rare. Why? Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Because it's an opportunity for self-realization. The doors are open as soon as we take the human birth to awaken the eternal nature of the soul and offer eternal loving service to the Lord, to cultivate that principle. And what is, Govinda Das asked, what is the most valuable of all treasures in this human life? The association of people who enlighten us. Lord Chaitanya taught this. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastar Koi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. That all the great scriptures of all of creation, they teach and emphasize a particular truth that is so essential that even a single moment where we open our hearts for the blessings, the grace, and the knowledge of a sadhu, an enlightened person, can open the doors to liberation. Sarva Siddhi Hoi. It means that one moment can open the doors to spiritual perfection. There's a beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that conquering kingdoms, acquiring millions, billions of dollars, having the most beautiful partner to enjoy with, attaining heavenly worlds, even achieving yogic cities where we could perform supernatural miracles. They are all insignificant in comparison to one moment of a saintly person. Because that moment reminds us of what we have forgotten. We are eternally loving children of the Supreme. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, Neha Bikramana Sosti Pratyavayo Navidyate Svalpam Apyasya Dharmasya Drayate Mahatopaya. When we render loving service, sincere service to the Supreme Lord, when we simply sincerely try to be instruments of compassion, that service, because it's on the spiritual platform, it's never lost. The credits, the effects are never lost. And they can protect us even from the most dangerous fears. I don't know much about business, but I do know a lot of business people. And they tell me so many things. And one thing I have witnessed is the most serious concern of an intelligent business person is where, when, and how to invest. I think some of you have that experience. Because your future depends on where you invest. Now, if somebody tells a business person, invest in this, and it's 100% guaranteed it's going to fall. It's going to fail. There'll be nothing left after. He probably won't work so hard to put money in there. You want to invest in something that's secure and that has a promising future. So this verse of Gita, Neha Vikramana Sosti Pratyavayo Nivedite Svalpam Apyasya Dharamasya Trayate Mahatobhayat. If we invest in our spiritual potential, it's never lost. It's in a spiritual account. If we leave this world 75% God conscious, whatever else we've done. Of course, if you do crazy things, you won't be 75% God conscious. You actually have to invest. And investment means two things. It means you don't put your wealth here, you put it there instead. Time is the greatest commodity we have. How are we going to invest each moment? If we invest it in cultivating our enlightenment, our spiritual future, that investment is never lost. Even if we have to take birth again, we start at 76%. Some people, they leave this world 99%, and all they need is a few minutes to live in this world to just finish it up. But all of our material acquisitions, money, educational degrees, fame, fortune, Academy Awards, platinum records, at any moment, it's going to be taken away, and like 2019, you'll never see it again. Can't take anything with you. There's a famous saying, time and tide wait for no man. And these days, we have to add women either. Time and tide doesn't wait for anybody. But when we invest these moments in something valuable, in self-realization, not only does that moment become sacred, but the benefits of that moment are forever ours. They're never lost. So New Year's is a time where we look into the future for light, not for darkness. We review our past. We review what's going on in our families and within our ashrams and within the world. And we learn. We don't get discouraged. And in order to overcome the propensity for discouragement, because so many reasons to do so, we need to encourage each other. That's sadhu sangha, where we're with people who encourage us, who teach us to look for the light and see the light. If we focus on problems, if we focus on faults, if it's in a detached way where we see what it is and we try to improve it, then that's healthy. But actual yoga is detachment in the sense we're not detached from our duties, we're not detached from our purpose in life, but we're detached from the distractions. We try our best. And avoid charanaravindare. And we take shelter of the Lord and self-realization, the opportunity is always with us. Nama Sankirtanam Vishnu Jagan Mangalamanghasam. The sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam tells the most auspicious activity in all of creation is the chanting God's names. Why? Because wherever we are, whoever we're with, in any situation, it helps us to remember and reconnect with our own spiritual essence and with the grace of the Lord. I'd like to tell a simple allegorical story in this regard. How many of you have heard of the great guru and yogi Narada Muni? Please raise both of your arms and loudly say Hari Bol. Okay, now those of you who have heard or not heard, please raise your arms and say Hari Bol. That's what he likes to hear. So Narada Muni, he travels everywhere. When he was in his previous life, he was just a little boy of about 4 or 5 years old. And he lived in the jungle with his widowed mother. And he had no education because his mother was very poor. And he really didn't have any wealth. But one year during Chaturmasya, the 4 months of the rainy season, a group of great yogis, bhaktivedantas, they came to the forest. And because they couldn't travel during the monsoon storms, they just stayed in one place to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, to serve the Lord, to cultivate self-realization. And the little boy would help his mother, and he would serving in the most humble ways. And because he was sincere to please them, even though he wasn't really intellectual to understand all the things they were saying, because he was sincere to please them, he was blessed. You see, if we want the blessings of someone, I'll tell you how not to get it. To go to somebody and demand, please give me blessings. Even if the person blesses you, you're not receptive to receive it. Because saintly people want to bless everybody. But when we're eager to serve, and we're eager to learn, then our hearts are wide open. We're tuned in to the right channel. And then those lessons are accessed. There's a beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Atap, what is that verse? Atapumbir dvijastri. No, I'm sorry. That by serving great souls, by serving great souls, our hearts open to be able to taste the sweetness of what they speak. And then those words transform our hearts. So this service attitude, seva, is so important as a basis of our spiritual advancement. When we have a service attitude, which means we want to please. When we're grateful, we're humble, and we're eager to please, then our hearts become like fertile soil. And then the seeds of blessings take root, and they grow very rapidly, by watering with our spiritual practice and our good behavior. So this little boy, because he pleased these great souls, and he appreciated them so much, that one time he asked, "Could I take the food you've eaten? The leftovers from your plates?" And usually they would say, "No, no, no, you should not do that." But because he was so sincere and he appreciated them so much, he said, "Yes, yes, go ahead." And then he could understand everything they were talking about. And after they left, his mother was bitten by a snake when she went to milk a cow, and she died, and he was all alone. He was 5 years old, and he just went looking for truth. And it's a long story. And it's almost the end of the year, so I don't have time. But he, in his next life, because of his enthusiasm, his patience, and his faith, in his next life, he became Narada Muni. A completely self-realized soul who could go anywhere, anytime. And he was the guru of some of the greatest people in all of history. So I'm going to tell you one story of a disciple of his. Because some disciples, you know, they don't listen. And some do. But this disciple's name was Kailash. How many here have heard of this person? Raise your hand. How many have not heard this story? Please raise your hand. The more who raise their hand, the more enthusiastic I'll be to tell it. So Kailash was a student. And Narada Muni told Kailash, please, I know you're busy, you have your studies, but take time to cultivate your spiritual life also. You have to balance your life. Your spiritual life is very important. Take the time for it. Then integrate it with whatever else you do. And Kailash said, Gurudev, I know what you're saying is true, and I really want to do it, and I will do it. But I have my studies, and it's very difficult. After my studies, then I will take my spiritual life very seriously. So Narada Muni left, because what to do? You can bring a horse to water, but you cannot force the horse to drink. So some years later, Narada Muni came back. And he said, Kailash, take your spiritual life seriously. It's the most important thing. It's the most important investment. Kailash said, I just got married. And now I have children. I have to start my career, and I have to raise my children. Then I'll take my spiritual life seriously. Narada Muni left. Some years later, he came back. Kailash, it's time. So much has been wasted. Take your spiritual life seriously. Give a balance. Give quality time to your sadhana, to your association with uplifting people. Integrate it into your life. Kailash said, well, now my business is doing really well, and my children, I need to get them to grow up. And after they're married, then I'll take my life seriously, spiritually. Many years later, Kailash returned. The children were all married. Kailash is getting old. Kailash said to Narada Muni, now I have grandchildren. And my children, they just don't know how to properly take care of the grandchildren. And besides that, I worked so hard for this property and my business, and I have to teach my children how to take care of their grandchildren, how to take care of this business of mine. Narada Muni. He was praying, and then he left. Some years later, he came back. He went to the house. The children, the grandchildren, they were there. Narada Muni said, "Where is your father, Kailash?" They said, "Oh, you didn't hear? He died." Narada Muni cried. This is the nature of a saintly person. It's not that they don't feel. They do cry. They cry out of compassion for others. That's their love. "I couldn't help this person. I tried, but I could not help him." And as he was walking away, you are amazing audience. I spoke so much knowledge and so much verses, and the only time you clap is when I sound like a dog. I take responsibility. So the dog is barking, and Narada Muni looks at the dog, and then the dog says, "Narada, Narada, I am Kailash." And Narada said, "Kailash, now you're a dog. You wasted your whole human life. But at least now take your spiritual life seriously. I'll give you this one last chance." And Kailash said, "I worked my whole life to create this estate and this home for my children and my grandchildren, and they're not protecting it properly. I have to be here to protect it. Just give me a little more time, and I promise you I will take my spiritual life seriously." So Narada Muni left. A couple years later, he returned. He knocked on the door. He said, "I don't see that dog anymore. Is that dog here?" And the family said, "Oh, that dog, he died." Narada Muni felt so, "What? I couldn't help him." He was walking away, and suddenly he heard, and he looked down, and there was a snake slithering toward him. And the snake turned and got up and said, "Narada, it's me." Kailash. And Narada Muni, he said, "Kailash, chant with me. Give some time a day to cultivate your bhakti." And Kailash said, "But there's so many predators coming. I have to protect. But I promise you, Narada, I promise. Just a little more time. And I will take my spiritual life seriously." So Narada understood this is an emergency. And sometimes in emergency situations, great souls become quite harsh. So Narada Muni went back to the house, and he gathered Kailash's children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, who he gave his whole life to support. And he neglected his entire spiritual life just to work to provide for them. This is a heartbreaking story, but it will make you very happy. Narada told the family, there is a dangerous poison snake in your front yard. So they came with sticks and bats and started beating the snake. They were beating their father. They were beating their grandfather, their great-grandfather. They didn't recognize him. They were beating and beating. And Kailash was sitting there. They were beating and beating. And finally, Kailash cried out, Narada, I'm ready. I will take my spiritual life very seriously. And Narada Muni said, all right, come with me. So this is kind of a silly story. But it's very serious. Because it's practically the story of everyone's life. Srila Prabhupada, when he was in New York in 1966, he saw, because the devotees were chanting with him, he saw a newspaper cartoon where the wife was telling the husband, chant, chant, chant. And the husband replied, can't, can't, can't. I don't have time. But what is time for? Sometimes when a loved one leaves their present body, we reflect on what really is important in our life. My beloved Guru Srila Prabhupada, he wrote that for a devotee, getting old and diseased is a wonderful impetus to take our spiritual life seriously, to invest in our eternal identity. ...2019 is gone forever. 2018... gone. And all the years that add up to make it are gone. And all the years before that are gone. What remains? The present moment to evaluate what I'm going to prioritize. When we focus on the important issues in our life, the small things do not disturb us anymore. We just deal with them responsibly. But we focus on cultivating not only the awakening of our own eternal spiritual nature, the love that's within our heart, but we cultivate how we can serve others by awakening that happiness in their heart. In this way, if we're looking to the future for spiritual awakening and for all positive opportunities in whatever situation comes, then really it is a happy new year. And the whole purpose of life is to be happy. Everyone's looking for happiness. But what is a happy new year? It's investing in true happiness. When I was in a little electric car coming here with Sandy and Prem Dasji. Sandy said, "Today's the coldest night since I've been here. And it's the night we stay up till midnight." She was happily saying it. And Prem Dasji said, "Yes, that way when we dance in the kirtan, we won't be so hot." So I was very happy. Whatever the situation, we look for a positive opportunity. And when we're seeking shelter, there's always a positive opportunity. Every situation has its particular opportunity to serve. If we're thinking selfishly, it may seem like we're running into a dead end. But if we're thinking in terms of how I could connect deeper, Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama, how I can go deeper, Daivi Yeshu Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya Mami Vamya Prapadyante Maya Meta Tarantite. By taking shelter and persevering sincerely, we can overcome every obstacle. And then it is really a happy new year. And an opportunity to look forward to give happiness to others. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Lord Chaitanya has told us the names of the Lord are Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, the greatest benediction. Because they awaken the joy of the heart, of the soul. They awaken the prema, the love that is within us. And they empower us to share that love, which according to the Yoga Sutras is the perfection of yoga. I'm very happy that we have so many special guests here. We have all the residents of Govardhan Eco Village performing so many wonderful services. And we have two of my very, very dear friends. We have David Haberman, Prem Das, and Sandy. And also here is, I would have to name every one of you, and there's hundreds of you, but I'm just going to name a few, so please forgive me if I, but I'm naming all of you. When I chant Hare Krishna, it includes all of you. Well, we're very grateful that Raghunath Prabhu and Kostuba Prabhu have brought so many wonderful, wonderful students to Govardhan Eco Village. And wonderful devotees have come from London. Devotees have come from Australia. There's devotees from South Africa. There's devotees from New York. Dayal Gauranga Prabhu. Devotees from Italy. I want to welcome each and every one of you. And together as a community, as a family, let us welcome in the new year by sharing the joys of bhakti. Thank you very much.